Well, a few weeks ago, my family and I, we went on a bit of a trip to Kentucky for an archery tournament. We went to Louisville. I've been told by some of you, I'm not saying that right. I think it's like Louisville or something like that. But anyway, we headed off to Louisville and we were about to our hotel, about 15 minutes away or so. And so we had the GPS on. I'd been to Louisville before, but I wasn't familiar with this area. And so the GPS is on. Suri is talking me through it. And we get to this place where there's kind of this split in the road. And I was a little unclear looking at my phone, listening to the instructions, what I was supposed to do, and I made a mistake. I turned off on the wrong place, and in my frustration, I say, hey, Suri, thanks a lot, to which she said, you're welcome. And I just want to tell you, she's rubbing it in just a little bit. I don't know if you've had that experience with Suri or Alexa, you get kind of mad and say something and they talk back to you, right? Yeah, it happens, all right? They can cut you deep. But anyway, the GPS, you know, reset and all that stuff. And with really just a few minutes, we were back on the path. I got to the same spot. I made the right decision this time and off we went. You know, when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, we use this language so often of being on a journey with the Lord, of walking with the Lord, of following Jesus. And you know, if you've been a Christian, I'd say more than maybe a few weeks, a month or two, you know, you kind of have that honeymoon phase for a little bit. But very quickly after that, you begin to feel this pull to get off the path that the Lord wants for you. I can think in my life, I've been a Christian for a little over 30 years, these different seasons of my life, right? I've gone away from the Lord. I've not been on the path that he has set before me. And for me, and I imagine for you, sometimes we need a little bit of a course correction. We need that GPS spiritually to fire up and get us back on the right path. Well, as we continue in this series of the life of Jacob, we come to our last in this series, and I've been so blessed by it. I find Jacob to be such a fascinating character, but probably unsurprising given what we know about Jacob is he finds himself in a place that he's not supposed to be. He has gotten off the path that the Lord has for him. And so this is going to wrap up this series. Next week, we're going to turn our attention to the life of Joseph. Now, Jacob doesn't totally disappear from the scene, but this really is the last chapter where Jacob is the focus. And we're going to learn three very valuable and important lessons from him that when you find yourself where you're not supposed to be, where you're off that path, how you can come back to the Lord. And we begin with this, that when we find ourselves in that place that we are not supposed to be, we need to repent. That is, we need to turn to God or return to the Lord. Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 35. Then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, get rid of the foreign gods you have with you and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel where I will build an altar to God who has answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods that they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Jacob, after living for 20 years in the homeland of his mother, he was really living under the authority of his uncle Laban. After this 20-year time period, right, he's been married, he's grown his family. After all this, after 20 years, the Lord goes to him and says, I want you to go back home. Remember, Jacob had to flee from his brother. He had deceived his father. He had stolen the birthright. And his brother Esau was extremely upset about this. He threatened to kill Jacob. And so he was sent to his mother's homeland some 550 miles away. And after this long time period, Jacob is told to come back. And he is obedient to what the Lord tells him to do. Now, this was not an easy journey. As he is leaving, he didn't tell his uncle Laban. But he took off, and when he hears about this, Laban pursues him. All right, he'd been blessed by Jacob in all these ways. He didn't want that to end, and so he confronts Jacob. But basically, the Lord says, hey, leave him alone. And so they part ways. As Jacob and his family continue, they now face Esau. And Jacob wasn't sure how Esau was going to respond to him. He wasn't sure if he was still angry and upset after many decades. But they actually reconcile. And so Jacob finally arrives in his homeland. He crosses in to Canaan and he settles in this town called Shechem. Now, the town of Shechem was this crossroad of trade routes. It was a very prosperous area, but this was not where Jacob was supposed to be. Instead, Jacob was supposed to be in the town of Bethel, which was about 20 miles from Shechem. And the reason that Jacob was to be in Bethel is due to a vow that Jacob had made many years before, 20 years or so before, that we find in Genesis chapter 28. If you remember that chapter, this is where Jacob is fleeing and running away from his brother. And he lays down to go to sleep and he doesn't even have, you know, a pillow or anything. He has to use this rock. And so he uses this rock to sleep when the Lord visits him in this amazing dream. It's just this awesome experience. And Jacob sees this ladder or this stairway, and going up and down on it are angels. And at the very top is the Lord, who reveals himself to Jacob and gives him these promises that he will bring Jacob back to the land and that the Lord will be with him for his entire life. And after this awesome experience, Jacob makes this vow. Now, you don't need to turn there to be on the screen or just listen to these words. We find this in chapter 28, verse 18. It says, early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you back, a tenth. So Jacob, awesome experience. He names this place Bethel. Bethel means house of God. And he makes this vow that he will one day come back. And then after that 20-year period, when the Lord goes to Jacob and says, I want you to come back, listen to how the Lord reveals himself here in chapter 31, verse 13. The Lord says to Jacob, I am the God of Bethel. Other times he would say, I am God Almighty. But here he says, I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. God is making it clear to Jacob to return home, but not just to his homeland, to Bethel, the place that Jacob had first met the Lord. But though Jacob went back home, instead of first going and settling in this town of Bethel, he goes to Shechem. And because of this, it has devastating consequences for his family. We didn't look at it, but just to kind of summarize chapter 34, they're in this area and there's a young man from Shechem who notices Jacob's daughter. And because of this, he takes her and he defiles her sexually. Just this awful scene. And Jacob's sons, her brothers, especially Simeon and Levi, they are furious about this. They're enraged about this, and I think rightly so. But instead of relying on the Lord's vengeance, the Lord to take care of this, they take matters into their own hands and they kill all the males and they plunder the city. Just a kind of awful situation. And what is so striking about chapter 34, again, this devastating episode in Jacob's family's life, is that God, or the name of God, is not mentioned one time in chapter 34. This is not an insignificant detail. This is pointing us to the fact that Jacob did not have his family in the place that he was supposed to be. And because of this, the consequences were very severe. Now, I want you to apply that to your own life. Right? Maybe you can think back of a time you were not in the place God wanted you to be. Maybe for you, that's right now, right? We drift away from the Lord. We're not on the path that he wants for us, and it can have devastating consequences for our life, right? You get away from the Lord and you begin to doubt your faith. You get on the wrong path. You get very discouraged. You get on the wrong path and you get into that sinful behavior. And so we have to be aware, if we are not in the place that God wants for us, it is not a neutral situation. It will lead us astray. It will lead us away from the Lord. And so what Jacob had to do, what he does here after the Lord confronts him, is he repents. That word simply means to turn. He was going this way. He was in a place he should not be. So he repents and he returns back to the Lord. And so Jacob first repents, but notice he calls his family to repentance. He calls them to turn from their idols. Now, I don't know about you, but this is very shocking to read. I mean, this is Jacob's household. The Lord has revealed himself to Jacob a number of times in these really unique ways. But yet Jacob's family was following after false gods, false idols. And I say this might shock us, but I'm not sure it should. Because for you and I, there is a constant temptation. We are no different than them of idolatry pulling us away from the Lord. Now, when I say idol, I'm not sure what exactly comes to your mind. Maybe you think of some kind of wooden figurine or some metal thing. And for them, that's what it would have looked like. But behind that image, it pointed to a false god. It might have been the false god of the harvest or sex or fertility or whatever it might be. And so when we kind of think of that in those terms, we are not that much different than them. See, each culture, we have our own idols. We have idols in this culture of power, of money, of sex, of comfort. The late Tim Keller, he defined idolatry in this way. I find this so helpful. He says an idol is anything, right? That's the key word, is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imaginations more than God. Anything you seek to give you what only God can give you. So when we think of idolatry in those terms, anything can be an idol. It can be good things such as career or family, but it can also be things that we shouldn't be involved in, such as pornography. And so the list can go on and on. And so we have to do that hard work of identifying the idol in our life, the idol in our life that is causing us to drift and get off the path that God has for us. But did you notice what Jacob says to his family? He says, identify the idol. And then he says, purify yourself. He says, change your clothes, right? It's very physical. Now, we don't have to do that, but we still need to purify ourselves. And the way we do that is by confessing our sin, right? We need to identify that idol, and then we need to confess it to the Lord. I'll tell you, one of my most favorite passages is found in the New Testament letter of 1 John in chapter 1, verse 9. We read this, and it's a favorite of mine because I am a sinner, right? And for you, I hope this is a favorite passage for you because you also are a sinner. But we read this in 1 John. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just and he will forgive us our sins. And listen to this, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you are not yet a follower of Jesus, would you confess your sin to the Lord? Would you cross that line of faith and be washed by the blood of Jesus? Now, that language may seem strange. What's that mean, the blood of Jesus washing away my sin? That seems so odd. It means through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, you are made clean. That sin, that guilt, that shame that you may have is washed away. And it is remembered by our Lord no more. He chooses to forget it. But you know, this passage here in 1 John, it wasn't written to unbelievers. Yes, it applies to them, of course, when we put our trust in Jesus. But John is writing this to those that have put their trust in Christ. He's saying, even as followers of Jesus, we will not be perfect. We will have times where we drift away from the Lord, where we have sin, but we need to confess it to the Lord. We need to be purified and cleansed from our sin, set that relationship with the Lord correct again, and move forward in our walk with Christ. And so if you need to do that today, would you turn back to the Lord? Would you repent of your sin and follow after him? That's lesson number one. This second lesson that we find here with the life of Jacob in this passage is that you and I need to reaffirm our identity in Christ Jesus. That you and I need to reaffirm or remind ourselves of who God is and who you are in Christ Jesus. Look with me at verse 10. After they've removed the idols, they've returned to Bethel. The Lord says this to Jacob, verse 10. God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you. And I will give you this land to your descendants after you. Now, if you've been going through this study the last few weeks, this sounds very familiar, right? It doesn't seem to be new material. We're told in verse 10 that Jacob is given the new name Israel. But you might be saying, I thought he already was given this new name. And he was back in chapter 32. These promises sound very familiar that the Lord gave Jacob, and that's because they are. But that's the point. See, you and I have to constantly remind ourselves of who God is and who we are in Christ Jesus. This is such an important lesson for us. That when you return to God, because you've gotten off the correct path, the path that the Lord wants for you, but when you come back to him, you need to repent. You need to turn back to him, but you also have to reaffirm who you are in Christ Jesus. You need to remind yourself of the love he has for you. You need to remind yourself that your identity is a child of God, that you are a son of God, that you are a daughter of the Lord. See, I think one of the things that we can so often do, we're kind of like that prodigal found in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15. And this guy, I mean, he takes off. He wants nothing to do with his family. And he lives it up and he has a good time, at least for a while. And then he hits rock bottom. And at this low point, he says, I'm gonna return back to my father. And he's kind of rehearsing what he's gonna say when he comes back. And he tells himself, when I get back to my father, I'm gonna say, Father, no longer am I worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your servants. But what does the father do as he looks out and he sees his son? He doesn't even let his son talk to him. He just embraces him and welcomes him in. This is what God does to you when you've gotten off that path. When you return, when you repent and come back to you, he welcomes you back. He doesn't say, who is this one? He says, no, this is my son. This is my daughter in the faith. This one has been forgiven and secured in the love of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things in my position, being a pastor, and Rusty and Jack and our staff, so often we'll have these conversations with people and they confess sin. And some of it's some pretty grievous stuff. And it just, you can just see they're broken over it. And there's remorse. And I will say that's a healthy thing to confess that. But it also, you know, it hurts. And so they're broken over it. But yet one of the things that can sometimes these, as they're confessing, they can miss is to reaffirm their identity in Christ. So maybe they get caught up in pornography or whatever and their conscience, they just pour it out and they repent. And that's a good first step, but you have to reaffirm who you are in Jesus. Because the enemy of your soul is gonna be whispering, you are not worthy. You are not a child of the Lord. And so you know this, but you have to constantly remind yourself, constantly reaffirm who you are. That there was a time I crossed over that line of faith. I put my trust in Jesus, and now I am secure in him forever. I may wander, but when I come back, the Lord has always been there. He is welcoming you back. He is reaffirming who he is, who you are in Christ. This is what he does for Jacob. This is what he does, the Lord, for each of us. The third lesson is this, that you and I, when we find ourselves in that place we should not be, right? We've gotten off the path, that we need to recommit our life to the Lord. Look at verse 14. Jacob set up, it says, a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him. And he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. What a cool scene this would have been. Over 20 years before, the Lord had shown himself to Jacob in this awesome way. And now he returns to this very site, right? That maybe that stone still remained, right? That he poured oil on 20 years ago. But now instead of just one stone, he piles them up and he pours oil. What's Jacob doing? He's worshiping the Lord. He's making a recommitment in his faith walk. He is recommitting his life to God. Jacob was supposed to be in Bethel. Commentators, as they kind of piece the timeline together and all this stuff, they think Jacob was in Shechem for 10 years. 10 years he was not in the place he should be. Maybe for you it's not been 10 years, but it's been a long stretch. But here is Jacob. He returns and he recommits his life to God. You know, with the next gen stuff, all that's coming up with camp and different things, I've been reflecting on my own life about my youth experience and going to camp and all this stuff. And, you know, I grew up as a teenager, mainly in the 90s, and it was a good time, but there was some kind of odd things that we did. And one of the things I was thinking about, and I think this still happens some today, is we would create these, the youth pastor would create this huge bonfire, all right? And it wasn't just to, you know, get warm. No, they were doing this so you would take something and throw it into the fire. And often it was a CD. Now, if you don't know what a CD is, it's a compact disc, right? We would play music on it. I know it's a very foreign concept. But you would take that CD and you would put it in the fire. And again, it might could get a little weird. And I always wondered, like, I never did that. I always wondered, like, if some of my buddies like, oh man, my Pearl Jam CD, you know, I wanted it back or whatever, you know, Metallica, I don't know what they wanted. But anyway, you would put it in the fire. And again, it could be a little strange, but the heart behind it was good. What that youth pastor was wanting is for you to recommit your life to Christ. That's very similar to Jacob's family. Right, for you, it may not be a CD, but is there something in your life that you need to put in that fire, so to speak, that you need to bury, and then you need to recommit your life to Christ? Where are you at in your spiritual journey? I know you're here right now. Where's your heart? Now, I can remember in my 20s, I had a time period, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I'm in church, but my heart was far from the Lord. Right, I was not on the path that God wanted for me. And so maybe that's you. But yet there is hope. Turn back to God. He will welcome you back. He will reaffirm who you are in Christ Jesus. Recommit your life to him. Just please bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. I want to give us some time to reflect on this. So once again, where are you at in your journey with the Lord? If you've drifted, maybe you find yourself in that place that you're not supposed to be, would you return back to the Lord? But again, that word repentance, it just means to turn. You've been going this way. You're not in that place you should be. You've turned. You return back to the Lord. If that is you, confess your sin. Be made pure. And if you are a follower of Jesus, this doesn't mean you're getting saved again. What this means is your relationship with the Lord's been fractured. It's a little messed up. But confess your sin, return to him, and his arms are open for you. Is there an area in your walk with God that you need to remind yourself of his commitment to you? That you're questioning, if I come back to the Lord, is he really going to welcome me back? So much of the Christian life is reminding ourselves, remembering who God is. And just like Jacob at times drifted, but the Lord, those promises he had for him, he never removed them. And if you are his child, he never removes his promises and his love for you. And if you've never made that decision to follow Jesus, would you do so today? Life is hard enough without Jesus Christ in your life. To be honest, I don't know how you do it if you're not a believer. To become a follower of Jesus, we speak of crossing that line of faith. What we mean is you admit you're a sinner. And this is more than just saying, hey, I have lied and I've done this and that. Sure, we've all done that. It's saying I've been going this way, away from the Lord, but I acknowledge my sin, my rejection of God, but I now turn to him. I confess my sin and the way I've been going, and I now put my trust in Christ Jesus. I don't rely on my own self for salvation. I don't try to do enough good versus bad and maybe God will accept me. No, you rely on the work of Jesus Christ. Myself, Pastor Rusty, Pastor Jack, Jackie, we'll be up front. We would love to talk with you. It may be that you need to get out of your chair, come to the altar, and recommit your life to Christ. Don't delay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage. Lord, we thank you for the life of Jacob. Lord, we can so easily identify with him. Lord, we have good moments and bad. Lord, at times we drift and get off the path that you have for us. But Lord, we ask. Lord, I ask if there are any this morning that have done that, they'll return to you. Lord, we thank you for the grace that constantly awaits us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that is made possible because of the cross. We pray all this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.